Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, guys. I am not Chuck and Julie, but I'm Mark Griffith. We're familiar with each other, I think. You should know me by now. I've guest hosted on two or three other occasions, and I was a guest on last Wednesday's show where I reviewed for Julie this book, a great book, a really interesting book, easy-to-read book, A Plague Upon Our House, My Fight at the Trump White House to Stop COVID from Destroying America by Scott Atlas. He was unsuccessful in that fight. We're going to see today why we're going to connect some of the dots, but I talked about it last week that basically the troika of Burks, Fauci, and Redfield, in that order, were responsible for either totally being incompetent, in the case of Deborah Burks and Redfield, or being maniacal egomaniacs who have who knows what kind of motivations. I'm going to get to Anthony Fauci's motivations in today's show. We're going to talk about this book, The Real Anthony Fauci. It's by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The subtitle is Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. Now, this book is not easy to read. Let me give you an idea. That's your typical page. I don't know if you could see that, but maybe not. Oh, there you go. And it's footnoted to unbelievable degrees. I've never seen anything footnoted. It's crazy. The guy did his research. Very thorough. I did not get through the whole book. And honestly, my history on, and by the way, let me give you the phone number if you want to call in, 888-627-6007. We welcome your calls. I love to take challenges, disagreements. You go to the front of the line. If you want to call and tell me Merry Christmas, you can do that. I'm wearing the hat today, even though we're discussing a very serious, depressing subject, because the man who's been at the head of our infectious disease thing, the guy, what's the name of it? It's the National, it's not the National Institutes of Health. It's a sub-agency of that. But Anthony Fauci is an evil, murderous man. He is literally responsible for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe, deaths, both during the AIDS epidemic, a few people during Ebola, I'm finding out, and now for hundreds of thousands of deaths in COVID. These are very strong accusations, and I'm willing to stand behind them. The evidence is clear. Now, one of the things that I've had pushback, there's a guy I go to church with that he thinks I'm just, I got three or four screws loose. Maybe the whole buggy is just falling off, you know, the road. But the problem is that he believes that the people running our government, running our health agencies, public and private, that they're telling us the truth, that the media, yeah, there's a leftist bent, but they wouldn't lie to us. Yeah, that's not true. The problem is that all the bad about Fauci's career has been blocked and thrown under the rug. You've got to know where to go to get original source material, Anthony Fauci, okay? The other thing I'm going to talk about towards the end of the show is I believe that our government is actively trying to kill us. I've got some evidence for that. And then the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to share some books that I've read this year that I think you should consider reading. The best book I've read in probably 5 or 6 years, I read 30 or 40 books a year, but it's probably the best book I've read in 5 or 6 years and maybe the best book ever. The first half of the book I could not put down. I still remember the first night, the first time I ever read a Hemingway novel. I was in my 30s and I had never read Hemingway for some reason. So I had a copy of The Old Man and the Sea, and my wife and I were going up to Summit County for some kind of couples retreat with a church. And I started reading that thing and I missed the seminar or didn't pay attention. And I stayed up to like 2 in the morning, read the whole thing. It was just a great, great book. The Bitcoin Standard had the same effect on me. The first half of the book is basically about the history of money. I'm going to get to that later, but I just would encourage you, even if you're not interested in Bitcoin, read the Bitcoin Standard. All right, now back to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, since I was a kid and learning from my dad, we were from the South. My dad was super, super conservative. He hated the Kennedys, especially Teddy, because he was a moron and he killed a girl and got away with it. But of all the Kennedy brothers, Joe, John, Robert, and Teddy, really Robert Sr. was a good man. I think he had 11 children with Ethel. He never fooled around. He was a very faithful Catholic, unlike his older brother John, his younger brother Teddy. Robert Kennedy Sr. was a good man, and he was assassinated, of course, in 1968 in April, right after winning the California primary, the Democratic primary, by Sirhan, who they're giving consideration to letting out. Now, I want to remind you, as a side note, Sirhan is a Palestinian. He killed Robert Kennedy, and some of the motive was for Palestinian rights. Anyway, Robert Kennedy Sr. had 11 kids, and one of them was Robert Kennedy Jr. Now, he's a very intelligent, well-spoken, I shouldn't say well-spoken. He talks like it's going to take his last breath every time he talks. It's hard to listen to. He's like, listen to, the guy that's a former communist. I don't remember right now, but Horowitz. You've heard Horowitz. Always like that. So Robert Kennedy Jr., the last 20 or 25 years, has made a very big name for himself by being an anti-vax crusader. I mean, he's just off the deep end. And I'll be honest, I've just dismissed him. I just thought he's a kook. Obviously, vaccines are okay. I took vaccines. But here's the problem. As I've started to watch what's unfolded during COVID, it's clear that our health elites, our health leaders, people like Fauci and all the rest of them, they've been lying to us about the COVID vaccines. There's no question. There's just no question. They started out by saying, if you get the vaccine, get the double jab, you'll be immune to COVID. And then it was, well, you'll need to get a booster. Now they're talking about a second booster. That's four shots. And, well, it doesn't keep you from getting it. Well, it doesn't really keep you from. Then it was, it keeps you from getting it bad and you won't spread it to other people. And then the next thing was, well, it keeps you from getting it bad and you won't get hospitalized, but you can spread it to other people. Now, they're just lying. Joe Biden, everything he said, including the A and the V in that speech yesterday from the White House, was just a lie because the vaccines don't work. Right now, we're seeing in country after country, and you have to go to other countries to get your information because our news media is so corrupt here that you can't get information. But in UK, in Israel, in Denmark, the vast majority of hospitalizations and ICU cases before Omicron are in vaccinated people, fully vaccinated with a booster. Now, somebody that I'm not going to name, but I happen to live in the same house with her, and we've been together for 36 years. She's a nurse manager at a major facility here in the state. I'll just leave it at that. It's just a big, they're a outpatient surgery center. She's got like 400 people, nurses in there, plus doctors and stuff. They're all vaccinated. She got a religious exception. They gave four out. She got one. Four out of 400, that ain't too many. Like 80 people did not get an exemption. So she's got all these nurses and doctors who are double vaxxed and boosted, and they're catching COVID and they're getting sick. Some of them are getting really sick and going to the hospital. So the problem is, everything I'm going to say today is going to sound wild and over the top, and you're like, that guy's a kook. Except if you know where to get your information, you can get the truth. I'll try to read the comments in just a minute. The call-in number is 888-627-6007. I'd love to hear your observations on this. I'm going to try to keep it focused on Anthony Fauci. I'm going to start with AIDS. All right. So he started very early. He joined the NA. He got his medical degree in 66. It's kind of nebulous what his career was. He may have practiced medicine for 2 years, but then in 1968, he didn't want to treat returning vets coming back because he was in the, I think he was in the Veteran Administration. So he got a job with the NIH in some capacity. And he did that for quite a few years. So he doesn't have any advanced degrees except a medical doctor. Now, most of the people who are criticizing him are people with PhDs in epidemiology, microbiology, you know, biochemistry, molecular biology. There are people who are very, very well respected in the medical field in America, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Stanford, MIT, who think Anthony Fauci is a dunce when it comes to anything to do with science. I've got a piece in here where a guy named Iverson, not Allen, that would be a basketball player. Let's see. This is in a piece titled "Fauci Botched the AIDS Epidemic So Big Pharma Could Profit." He's doing it again with COVID. So this is by the Children's Health Defense Team, which is the organization that Robert Kennedy Jr. founded. Back to Robert Kennedy Jr. I'm jumping around a little bit. Sorry about that. I'm starting to think he's onto something, because if they've been lying about this vaccine, what else have they lied about? We know they've lied about ivermectin and HCQ. Is it possible that I'm 61? Is it possible when I was in the 60s growing up, I got what, like five or six vaccinations, smallpox. They stopped those in 71. So I got one. I don't think I got a polio. I think that ended in 59. I'm not sure. But chickenpox, measles, mumps, you know, rubella, whatever. It's a pretty short list. And they were 100% effective. You got the vaccine. I remember as a kid, they had chickenpox parties. So you didn't have to get the shot. You could just go to the party, get chickenpox, and you're done with it. Because in kids, it's not serious. But in adults, it's deadly. Okay, because our immune systems change through our life. One of the things we've learned that I've learned with COVID is the day we're born, our zinc and vitamin D levels begin to fall. Now, they don't fall precipitously until you get into your late teens and early 20s. But there's a huge correlation between how serious your case of COVID is, how deadly it is, and your vitamin D and zinc levels, okay? Irrespective of the other stuff I'm doing. Now, just as an aside, I'm going to do a favor. If you got a pen and pencil, write this down. You want to go to this website, flccc.net. So that's F as in Frank, L as in Larry, C as in Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. So flccc.net. Go there and click on protocols. It's a group of doctors, hundreds of doctors that have done what they should have done at the beginning of this pandemic. They've gotten together and basically compared notes. Hey, this is what's working for me and my patients. You know, we're doing this much ivermectin and we're doing this much of whatever. So let me turn my phone volume off. I did not do that and I should have. I apologize. And I just want to thank Chuck and Julie for trusting me with their show. I'm not Chuck and Julie. I'm Mark Griffith. I briefly, for 15 months, had a radio show on KLZ 560, and lockdown, I couldn't keep sponsors, so it was a pay-to-play thing, and I promised my wife I wouldn't use any personal money to keep the show going, so when I lost my sponsors, I was out. The media, for a variety of reasons, has been running interference for Dr. Fauci. Back to vaccines real quick on Robert Kennedy Jr. How many vaccines do kids take now? If you're a young mom, let's say you're a mom in your 30s, you got three or four kids. How many vaccines do they give kids now? I know it's more than four or five. I'm going to read real quickly, just skim these. Okay. Right. I know that RFK Jr. has some health issues. Yeah. Let's see here. Two neighbors who had their boosters got COVID. Two other neighbors who were fully vaccinated got COVID. A friend's mother who was okay, these are anecdotal, but you know, it's true. And the problem is that in America, the media has just got a lockdown tight on the data, but it's there if you can find it. The CDC that plays fast and loose with their facts or data. Let me give you an example of how they play with numbers. If you, first of all, tens of thousands of people are having adverse effects or adverse events to the vaccines. And we there may be tens of thousands of people dying. We don't know. We cannot get accurate numbers. But here's one of the tricks they play. You weren't considered fully vaxxed early on until you had two shots and you were 2 weeks past the second shot. Now, most adverse effects to the vaccines happen within about 3 or 4 days of that second shot. So if you get ill and get COVID and go in the hospital because of that second shot, no, you're not considered fully vaxxed. And it's not because of the shot. You just got COVID because you weren't vaccinated. That's how they count it. The problem is if you go 2 weeks past the shot, you're pretty much in the clear for short-term adverse events. We have no idea what the long-term adverse event effects are for this vaccine. Keep in mind, they usually study vaccines for years. Here's another thing. The normal protocol is if they have as many as 50 adverse events, adverse effects, 50, and it can be mild to any vaccine, they pull the vaccine. Now, you can go to the VAERS website where they keep track of reported. Here's another problem with the reporting. They don't require, there's no payment to doctors. There's no requirement to doctors that they report adverse events. So let's say you got your second shot. You get really sick. You go to see your doctor. He's like, yeah, you're sick. We need to do something, whatever. He's not required to say, oh, this patient just got their shot yesterday or 2 days ago. He has it. And it's the paperwork is very bureaucratic, very dense, takes him a lot of time, has to be done by the doctor, can't be done by a medical technician. So he's got no reward for doing it, and there's no penalty for not doing it. What do you think the chances are? It's vastly underreported. Maybe they think between 1% and 6% is actually reported. So if you go to the VAERS website, you're going to see that there's thousands of adverse events, and they haven't pulled these vaccines, and they're not vaccines because they don't give you immunity. Now, thankfully, I got COVID last December. This time of year, last year, I was sicker than a dog. I was sick from the Monday before Thanksgiving until the Christmas Eve. And I finally, on the advice of a couple of nephews who are really brilliant scientists and doctors, two doctors, I went down to Murdoch's and I bought the horse paste ivermectin, did the math, and and I was better in 12 hours. I mean, literally, it was that fast. So now I've bought ivermectin from overseas, and I have a lot of it in my house. I'd recommend that you have a stockpile of ivermectin going forward, because it's turning out that the vaccine is impeding in a negative way impacting our normal immune response to this virus. It's preventing a proper full response. So if you've had the vaccine and then you get COVID, it's possible you could have a worse effect. Now, right now, the Omicron, which everybody's freaking out about, is actually good news because its symptoms are really, really mild and it's really, really contagious. By the way, that's how every virus works. A virus starts out being X contagious and X serious. It might be, but as it mutates, it typically mutates to something way more contagious and way less serious. That's just the way it does. Because if it goes way more serious and way more contagious, it'll kill its host and the virus is dead. That's what happened to Ebola. That's what happened to a lot of these things. You know, Ebola was not really contagious, actually, but you had to have exchange bodily fluids. But it was really deadly. 50% of anyone got it was going to die. That's on the short end. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it matters where you get your data. And I'm not going to be able to give you all the details on where I get mine, but Fauci, this is a good point. You know, the old saying is that if you're getting flak, in other words, anti-aircraft fire, that means you're over the target. And Fauci says that RFK Jr. is a sick individual. He must be heading home. America's Frontline Doctors is another good place. The place I mentioned, flccc.net, is a wealth of information. It's a busy website. You go there and click on protocols. It'll tell you what to do for preventatives. It'll tell you what to do if you get COVID, how to treat a loved one. Let's see here. I'm Mark Griffith, by the way. The phone number, 888-627-6007. So here's the business model, if you will, that Fauci operated under. In 1984, he became the director of the sub-agency of the NIH. I should have written it down, but I don't have it. It's like a six-letter acronym. I can't read the deal. Anyway, he took over the AIDS response. If you remember, starting like 1983, AIDS was terrifying because Fauci came out on TV and said, you can get this from casual contact. There was no evidence of that. It turns out they had one infant who had AIDS, or HIV, if you will. And they Fauci posited from that, well, it must just be airborne. You could just get it from sitting on a toilet seat or touching or shaking hands. It turns out the mom had HIV and she gave it to the child in the birth canal. She was giving birth. But we all, and also Fauci, he loves there. I'm going to get to my big, there's something called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Now, Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Munchausen syndrome is when you do self-harm to get attention. So we've all known people when we were in school or maybe college who would cut themselves or they would do things that were dangerous, hurt themselves, so they could get attention from the nurse or go to the doctor or whatever. People would go, oh, Sally Sue's, you know, feel sorry for her. Well, there's another syndrome called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And this is where a caregiver to someone who is sick or maybe not sick purposely injures or makes sick the child or the person under their care. And this is a known syndrome. People have been prosecuted for it. It's really happened. It's not just a theory. If you talk to any psychiatrist or psychologist, it's a real thing. Or just don't Google it. Don't use Google. Use DuckDuckGo. They will protect your privacy. They don't track your search results, and they don't pervert the search engine results. Google is just bad. Just don't be lazy. Install DuckDuckGo as your default browser, and your life will be better. Also, use Brave as your browser. Brave, Brave.com. It's run by a conservative. They also protect your data. They're like having a kind of a local version of a VPN. I also use a VPN. I'm really careful. But anyway, look up Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's where, let's say, a parent has a child that has special needs of some type. Well, in order to kind of be the savior of that child, they will make the child worse and then take care of the child so that people say, oh, look at Mrs. Jones. She has such a hard job because she's taking care of little Tommy, and Tommy's got all these problems. Well, it turns out Mrs. Jones is causing the problems Tommy has. Okay, I know it's normal. People just can't wrap their heads around this kind of thing. What if Dr. Fauci has that on a societal scale? Okay, because in the AIDS epidemic, he pushed a drug. You guys will remember this. There was a drug called AZT that was supposed to be the drug. It turns out it was the drug that killed hundreds of thousands of gay men. You go into the gay community today and you ask people that are in the know, older people that were around during AIDS, hey, what do you think about Tony Fauci? They will want to gouge your eyes out just for bringing his name up. He is an evil, bad guy in their eyes because it came to light, not all over the media because they covered for the guy, but in the gay community, they know he killed him because he was prescribing AZT. Now, AZT was developed in the early 60s to treat leukemia, except it didn't work. And they found out, guess what? It killed people by shutting their kidneys down. So it just sat on the shelf. And so when AIDS came up, Fauci's like, hey, let's try AZT. It'll work. And he comes out and says it works. The media goes, oh, it works. You know, they're like a dog and pony show. They just work together. What is a dog and pony show? Anybody ever been to a dog and pony show? I mean, I've been saying that my whole life. I've never been to a dog and pony show. I tried to break a bad pony once, and I've had lots of dogs. But anyway, 888-627-6007. 888-627-6007. I'm Mark Griffith. I'm sitting in for Chuck and Julie, and we're talking about the rancid, sordid, murderous career of Anthony Fauci. Now, when I had my radio show back in 2019 and 2020, no, 2019, I can't remember. I did a show on the rancid, corrupt career of Robert Mueller. Now, Robert Mueller was always considered the guy who went in and investigated when the intelligence community got out of line, whether it was starting with the TWA Lockerbie crash, what was it, flight number 219, I can't remember. But he was actually the CIA and the FBI's fixer. Now, if you know what a fixer is, if you've ever watched a mob movie like The Godfather, Tom Hagen, the Irish lawyer, he was a fixer for the Godfather family, for the Dom, and then for Don Corleone, and then for Michael Corleone. So Robert Mueller has actually gone and he covers up stuff when the CIA breaks the law, when they violate the Constitution. Anthony Fauci has not saved any lives ever. He's killed people. So he forced AZT on the gay community as a cure for AIDS. And he said, we're going to develop a vaccine. Now, resources are finite, folks. You only got so much many dollars and so many hours of research to do. And he crushed several hundred other promising possible cures or treatments for AIDS. Now, it's 40 years on from AIDS. There still is not a vaccine for AIDS. Okay? There's lots of effective treatments. Now, here's another one you might remember if you're my age. I remember in the 80s, I wasn't paying much attention. I was probably paying attention to the news. I never have not paid attention to the news since I was about 8. I remember when I got the Tulsa World when I was in 3rd grade, I'd turn to the back of the second section and read the editorials. I'd read William F. Buckley Jr. and George Will. There's a lunatic that's lost his mind. But in the 80s, when I was starting a family, I remember AZT was a thing. And I also remember there were these sob stories they'd show of people trying to go to Mexico or Canada or go to South Vietnam or wherever, not South Vietnam, in the 80s, there was no South Vietnam, but they would try to go wherever to get alternative AIDS treatments. Now, honestly, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to show my terrible evilness. At the time, I was like, they're gay. Too bad for them. They shouldn't be doing that. That was terribly not empathetic on my part, not Christian. So that was wrong. But the bottom line is I do remember that people were trying to get alternative treatments and our government would stop them. They would take them off of flights. But basically, here's the way it would work. Fauci was very slick in how he handled this. He would have all these patents for possible cures for future pandemics, whatever. They would kind of anticipate we might have an outbreak of this or an outbreak of that. I don't know how they do that. It could be that they're working on those things in the lab at Wuhan and in that lab in North Carolina that they shut down at University of North Carolina. So what he would do is have all these patents kind of ready. They're kind of half developed. And then when AIDS came along, he's got AZT on the shelf. Now, AZT killed leukemia patients. Didn't work. Why they kept it around, I have no idea, because it still was extremely deleterious. It had all these deleterious effects. Now, you watch Fox News and other stations, half the commercials, 3/4 of the commercials are for drugs. I mean, they spend 15 seconds telling you about the drug and 45 seconds telling you about all the side effects. Okay? But these side effects were deadly. But what happens is that when they would find a possible therapeutic or vaccine that might work, they would give it to a pharmaceutical company, okay? Give it to them, but retain half the ownership in the government. And Tony Fauci would get part of the action. A lot of the people at the top would get part of the action. Then the pharmaceutical company would finish out the research on this, and they would do this to all these pharmaceutical companies. And then when they finished it out, if one actually made it through the FDA process, now Fauci and the government agent that the agency he works for, they get half the profits. Now, just to give you an example, AZT in 1984, so it was like 13 years after it was first developed in 61, it cost pennies to make a dose, pennies. And they charged $10,000 a year to treat people with AZT, something that was killing people anyway. Okay? It was a racket. So, by the way, I'm Mark Griffith, and this is the Chuck and Julie Show. The phone number, 888-627-6007, if you want to call in, 888-627-6007. So Fauci had two motives, in my opinion, based on my research. One is financial. He's a very wealthy man. He gets remunerated. He buys stock in the companies he knows is going to work, and in the pharmaceutical approaches. So that was the AIDS epidemic. He absolutely crushed anyone who had a dissenting view. And he has the power of the government and the media behind him. So, and also he controls, since he started in 1984, so that's 37 years, he's doled out just a shade under $1 trillion to universities and pharmaceutical companies for research grants. $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. So when you want to know why isn't Duke or North Carolina or MIT or Stanford, why aren't they stepping out and saying, this is nuts. We've got treatment protocols, ivermectin, HCQ. These vaccines are dangerous. They don't work. It's because they don't want to get cut off from the research grants. It's about the Benjamins, to quote Ilhan Omar, the detestable little anti-Semite. So that's number one. Number two, his other motive is what I was talking about, is Munchausen syndrome by proxy on a societal scale. So I'm going to just run down a few things. So Munchausen syndrome is a mental health problem which a caregiver makes up or causes an illness or injury in a person under his or her care. This is too horrible for most people to even conceptualize. So normal people are horrified by stories of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. For good reason. Why would you injure a child under your care? It's because these people have a syndrome where they want to be seen as kind of the savior. People with Munchausen syndrome by proxy are very good at coming across as wonderful, empathetic, involved caregivers. Okay, look at me. I'm saving the world. There's a huge psychological payoff to these people. They're looking for stroking, and they get it because they're sacrificing. Is it possible Anthony Fauci has this syndrome by proxy? And he's getting told that he's in a lot of circles on CNN, he's Saint Fauci, literally, Saint Fauci. So, so admiration, as we all know, is a status enhancer. We all love status, okay? So here's something that might sound familiar to you. Age 1989. 1989 was a long time ago. Let me fill you in. It was, for a while, terrifying. Nobody understood anything about the virus, HIV, that appeared to cause AIDS. It wasn't clear how it could spread. Could we catch it from airborne droplets, from surfaces? Should we isolate people with the disease? Okay, does that remind you of anything? So in every case that Fauci's been in charge of a response, whether it's Ebola, the first swine flu, the bird flu, he's always, if you go back and look for quotes, he's always said the most terrifying predictions. He's still today about Omicron. Now listen, Omicron, I think, has killed one person with Omicron, and it was a really old person that had like 3 or 4 comorbidities in the world. So Omicron is like getting a mild cold. It's a head cold. It's literally from here up. Doesn't get into your lungs, which is what a lot of smart people like Scott Atlas and Bhattacharya from Stanford and some other people predicted. They said it will mutate to out of a lung, a lower respiratory illness, into an upper respiratory, which will be much easier on our bodies. So, but in every case, even now, Fauci is saying it's too early to tell. I mean, just the other day, he was saying we may have to wear masks on airplanes the rest of our lives. We'll have to do it forever. Screw that. One of the things I do is I don't wear a mask anywhere. I got thrown out of a lot of stores last year, okay, or this previous year, because people are terrified. And I tried to, I was always polite, But the funny thing is, the people who are true believers, they don't want facts. Facts don't, they are married to their fear. They love being, it's like their blanket. It's like trying to take a three-year-old or maybe your kindergartner still's running around with a blanket, and you try to take that blanket away. It was time to go to kindergarten first day. And they're like, no. And you try to explain to them, the other kids aren't going to have a blankie. They don't care. Okay. That's how these people are. They are, they're crazy. They've just been brainwashed. I don't know how else to say it. All right. Let's go back to this Munchausen by syndrome by proxy. So Fauci spread the lie that you could get AIDS by casual contact. Now, remember early on, you got to keep your surfaces cleaned off. You got to keep these wipes everywhere. You get it from shaking people's hands. None of that's true. And they probably knew it at the time. It didn't make sense. It's an airborne virus. Viruses, and that's the other thing, masks, really? The holes in a mask are bigger than the virus particle. Plus, it goes around the mask and can get out. Whatever. So I won't go into that. But so fast forward to COVID. So for Ebola, Fauci tried to run a drug called remdesivir. Sound familiar? And it didn't work for Ebola either. But he tried pushing it. Now, Ebola flamed out before he could really get going on it. Well, they kept remdesivir around. And what did, in March, I remember, I still had my radio show in March of 2020. And I remember when he came out with remdesivir, $3,200 a pop, but they said, oh, this thing's magic. And the news media, even Fox News, this is going to cure it. I'm like, okay, let's look at it. So I went and looked up the research, read the abstract. I didn't try to go through the scientific details because it was really dense and over my head, frankly, but I read the abstract. And like the last line in the abstract said, remdesivir does not reduce mortality in COVID patients, but it does reduce average ICU stays from 15 to 11 days. And I went, what? We're going to pay $3,200 and it's just a crapshoot whether it helps you or not. That help you? It doesn't lower mortality. So I had made friends with this lady in upstate New York in Albany, I think at Tufts University or some other university. She was a researcher's researcher. She basically teaches doctors and other scientists who are getting advanced degrees, how to do clean research, how to keep their numbers clean, how to narrow the data so they don't muddy up the research. Because it's easy to get other variables into research. You got to be careful. So I sent her the papers. It'll take me a couple of weeks. I'm busy. I'll go through it. And she did. And she came back and she used very foul language. She said, what the? She goes, this is nuts. They're telling people that remdesivir is a cure and it doesn't do anything. And now it turns out, in addition to that, remdesivir has some really nasty, nasty side effects, and it kills people. And yet, if you were to go to a hospital here in Colorado right now, and you get put on a ventilator, they're going to give you remdesivir. Think about that, folks. That leads me to the second part of the show. Now, Fauci gave the patent of remdesivir to some drug company and retained 50% ownership stake, not personally, but his agency. And now those monies are flowing into his coffers. He gets all kind of benefits. He gets bonuses. I mean, it's just corrupt. And he does this knowingly. Now, I posited on my announcement for the show that I believe, as hard as it is to say, our government is trying to kill us. I know, strong words. But the evidence is out there. Did you watch the speech yesterday or read any transcripts of it? Basically, they're hoping that... here's the other thing I realized just recently. The reason they're pushing the vaccine, it was a pathetic attempt on Biden's part. They're begging us to take the vaccine. It was... Anybody knows anything about sales, no, he did not sell any vaccines. I could have helped him with that. But by the way, this is the Chuck and Julie Show. I'm Mark Griffith filling in. They're on vacay. The phone number, 888-627-6007. I can't read the comments and keep the show going. So you're going to have to call me or something. Send me smoke signals or something. But the reason they want to eliminate the unvaccinated class is we're the control group. If we haven't taken the vaccine, then if there's a sizable fraction of Americans at the end of all this, God, I hope there's an end to this, then there'll be a comparison and we'll be able to say, okay, 60% of the public got double vaxxed and they got double or triple boosted. And here's their incidence of hospitalization, it's deaths. And here's the unvaccinated. And oh my gosh, it's the same or it's higher in the vaccinated group. That's what we're seeing in Europe right now. That's what they're seeing in Israel. The hospitals are full of fully vaccinated, boosted people. You think it's any different here? No. As I told you at the start of the show, my wife is a manager at a very prominent outpatient surgery center that you would all recognize the name. It's a world-renowned name. And she is manager over about 400 people. They're all double vaxxed. They had to be. She got a religious exemption. And they're dropping like flies. She gets three or four calls every morning saying, I got COVID. I can't come to work. Okay. And this is not like early on. Early on, we were getting COVID positives from testing healthy people. That's another thing that makes no sense. Why are we testing college kids and college athletes and pro athletes? These people are the healthiest people in the world. They're not dying. They're not even getting sick. We're shutting down the NFL because somebody tested positive on a random test. If you don't have an asymptomatic spread is not a thing. It's not a thing. If you don't have symptoms, you can't spread it because your viral load isn't high enough. Here's another thing. Natural immunity is a real thing. I had COVID a year ago. I got tested about 2 months ago for antibodies, and I tested for the quantitative, not the qualitative kind. The qualitative is pass-fail. Did you have COVID or not? The quantitative is, this is what your antibody level is. Guess what? In order to be considered positive for COVID, you need 0.8 units per milliliter in your bloodstream of the COVID antibody. I have 136. 10 months out. I'm bulletproof. Okay? Now, but if you look at the way they present this, they're wishing ill on the unvaccinated. The problem is the people who are going to be really sick are the vaccinated. Here's another thing. Dr. Peter McCullough, he's the guy who actually developed the PCR test that they're using erroneously to test for COVID. He was a college student in, I believe, the 80s when he was on a team that helped develop the PCR test that they're running to test COVID. He says that he advised you should not use that to test for COVID. It's raised way too many false positives. Here's another thing. During 2020, they were running as many as 45 cycles per whatever, I don't know the language, to find positive COVID. Well, the proper is in the mid-20s, maybe low 20s. So they were getting lots of false positives. Why'd they do that? Because Donald Trump was president. They wanted there to be lots of cases. Why do you think all they talk about is cases on TV? They never talk about hospitalizations or deaths. Because right now, here's the other thing. If the vaccines work, why are there more people dying of COVID after the vaccines have come out than there were before? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, Peter McCullough, this is a great piece. In American Greatness, I really urge you to read this. American Greatness, it's amgreatness.com. It's by Deborah Heine, H-E-I-N-E. Okay. Anyway, Dr. Peter McCullough, COVID pandemic was coordinated and planned to promote mask vaccinations. Basically, the piece queries, it posits that this whole thing has been an experiment using the people of the world as guinea pigs. That's another thing that reminds me. There was a film made in 1993 or 4 by the BBC, back before the BBC was completely lost their mind. It's called Fauci's Guinea Pigs. It's called The Guinea Pig Kids. Guinea Pig Kids, and it came out in 2004. And this is a big part of Kennedy's book. In the early 90s, Fauci got a hold of some orphans in an orphanage in New York City. He paid the orphanage a bunch of money, government money, so he could test these kids. He experimented on kids like the puppies, the beagles he experimented on. It's sick. You read about that, it just makes you wonder how a human being can do it. He's been compared to Joseph Mengele. I think rightly so, because a tenth of the stuff they've said about him are true. He is evil personified. So I see a funny one here. I think I'm going to get the third RNA jab. I'm developing a third nipple. Well, maybe you'll get a fourth if you get, you know, who knows. But yeah, this has been a giant PSYOP operation. So you wonder, okay, why would the people at the top of our government, this is the hard part to explain. Why would they want to do this? I think it has spiritual ends. I'm going to turn to the Bible. If you read the book of Jeremiah, thankfully the church we attend just finished a long, about 8 weeks or maybe 6 weeks on Jeremiah. Now, during Jeremiah, he was the last prophet of the last king before the diaspora, before Israel was, and they didn't come back to 1948. And if you read about how Israel was, actually it was Judah. Israel was already gone as a country and Judah was left. If you know your Bible, you know that right after King Solomon, the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom split off, and I can't remember if they were the South Kingdom or North Kingdom, but they never had any good kings. Judah had at least a few good kings, but mostly bad kings. Anyway, at the end of Judah's existence, it was just like here. Evil was ascendant. Evil was rewarded. All the top people in the government, the king and all his assistants, they were all corrupt. They couldn't win a war because their military had been corrupted. It was evil. I mean, they were worshiping Baal and sacrificing kids to idols. It was bad. And God basically had enough. He said, I've had it with you. Boom. And then he brought Christ back 400 years later. That was like 600 BC, sorry, 600 years later. But anyway, my point is that if you read Jeremiah, you will see striking similarities and parallels to what's going on in America right now. So the only thing I could think of is the people who are running things in our country, they're doing Satan's bidding. They may not know it. They're doing it for selfish ends, money, power. I mean, power's really an effective aphrodisiac. I quote Henry Kissinger himself, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. The dude is ugly, but evidently he could get women all big time, which was not mentioned in the very good biography I read about him last year. All right. Anyway, I've talked enough about this. I want to end Christmas. It's positive. There's another good piece in American Greatness by Lloyd Billingsley called Tuskegee Tony. And he compares the testing that Tony did to those kids to what they did. And these kids were almost all Black and Hispanic kids. And they killed them. They did all kind of, they gave them nasty drugs that were horrible. And it got swept under the rug. Anyway, all right. If you have a parent, I do, that lives with you. My mom lives with me. She's 86 and she has Alzheimer's or dementia, whatever you want to call it. And she moved in with us the day they did the lockdowns. We were going to put her in assisted living. And I said, I'm not putting you in there and letting you lock down. New city. She moved up here from Texas. This book saved my life. The first 6 months with my mom living here was the worst 6 months of my life. I had 3 or 4 nervous breakdowns. I cried my eyes out like I haven't since I was a child, because it's just very difficult taking care of the person who gave you life. And they run around the house chasing you with a hammer and telling you they hate you and so on. Now, thankfully, we got her meds smoothed out. And my wife and I and my 2 oldest daughters read this book. It's the Bible on treating people with dementia. So if you have a loved one that has dementia, read the 36-hour day. It was published first in 81. It's been 7 reprints, several million copies sold, been updated. It's considered the Bible by people in the field. I endorse it strongly. Okay. I just got in the middle of reading The Age of Enlightenment. It's basically America since the 60s. It's by Christopher Caldwell. He's kind of a thinker kind of guy. And he kind of ties a lot of strings together that you read and you go, oh, that makes sense. That's why we're where we're at, because of things that started in the 60s. I believe it started really in the late 1800s, early 1900s with the Progressive Era, but it really got going with FDR and then, of course, the 60s with the Great Society. Okay, I'm reading this book. I can't hardly put it down. Everything you believe is wrong. Not everything you know, but everything you believe. So a lot of the things that, for instance, there's an old saying I love. It's one of my favorite sayings, and that is, it's not what you don't know that really will kill you, really hurt you. It's what you know that isn't true that is most harmful to humans, okay? Some people say it was Mark Twain. Other people say it was somebody else. I don't care. But anyway, this guy is a master statistician, and he he debunks a lot of myths. For instance, everybody knows we've had global warming, right? I mean, it's happened. Nope. Since 1998, there's been no global warming in the mean temperature of the Earth. None. Now, they fiddle with the numbers. They've moved where they keep the temperature stations, the place where they gather the temperature. Guess what? They move from out in the countryside into cities. You think it might be warmer in a city than out in the countryside with all the concrete? So that's just one example, okay? Anyway, good luck. Don't forget to read your Bible. A lot of wisdom in here. Even if you're not a Christian or a believer or a Jew that practices, there's a lot of wisdom in this book. A ton. It's the most well-read book in the world, okay? All right. Now, back to the book I wanted to talk about at the very beginning of the show, The Bitcoin Standard. Great book. Even if you're not going to get into Bitcoin, I think you should consider it. The Bitcoin Standard is one of the best books I've read. The first half is just hard to put down. It's the history of money and stores of value. I will just end with this. I don't know how much time I have, Mr. Producer. If you could type me a message and tell me when I need to go off the air, I don't know. But basically, in the history of the world, every time, not most of the time, not all, but a few times, every time that a country, a government has inflated its currency, that country has kaput in some fashion, usually from within, just collapsed. Okay. The Romans did it with the denarius, the coin. At first it had X amount of silver in it or bronze or gold or whatever. And then they were like, well, we want to have more of these. So how they do it, they didn't print them. So what they would do is they would take a press and they would poke a hole in it. And then they would take all the little holes and melt them down and make more money. Okay. Yeah, didn't work out well for Rome. They did it in Greece. It's happened everywhere in the world. Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Cuba, you know, they're doing it here. Inflation is coming, folks. Everybody knows it. I mean, they say it's 6.8%. Do you know how badly they've corrupted the CCP, CPI, Consumer Price Index? If you look at the PPI, the Producer Price Index, it's a much more accurate indicator of what we're looking at. And I think we're looking at double digit, maybe even hyperinflation. I don't want to end on a downer note, but I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. We're going to have our five children over for Christmas Day. They're not coming over Christmas Eve for the first time ever, and so I'm really disappointed, but that's the way it is. I'll have my clam chowder and a little lobster bisque, maybe some shrimp. I always do seafood on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, you know, prime rib. We're going to have a little prime rib, a little ham, and a little turkey because we've got like 10 people, and I just want to make sure everybody's happy and satisfied, and I love to cook. So this is the Chuck and Julie Show. I'm Mark Griffith. I appreciate all your comments. I wish I could have read them. I'll try to go back and read them later. Hope everybody has a great Christmas. I think somebody else is substituting Friday, if I recall, and then Chuck and Julie will be back Monday. Thank you to them. But I don't know when to sign off. I'm not getting any news from my producer. So I just want to emphasize to you that if you want to read a book that tells the truth, there's three books out there right now that are really popular. Pandemia by Alex Berenson, bestseller. Pandemia by Alex Berenson, A Plague Upon Our House by Dr. Scott Atlas, and The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Real Anthony Fauci. It's the number one bestseller on every bestseller list, except the Times. They won't put it up there because they're corrupt. I think I'm close to the top of the hour. I'm going to call it. I want everybody to have a great Christmas, a happy new year, and piss off a liberal and say Merry Christmas every chance you get.